My name is Grace Farina. I am 17 years old. Today is December 22nd, 2018. I'm speaking with Judith Kratka, who is my grandmother's friend, and we are recording this interview in New Hope, Pennsylvania. Okay. What was your favorite subject to study in school, and how did it influence your career choice?
My favorite subject was anthropology because I love studying about different people and different cultures. And so that's the direction I went.
Did you always have this passion, or did you like develop it through experiences that you had throughout your life?
I think I developed it. I was not your best student. I'm not so good at doing things that everybody else does. I'm not good at math or science or things like that. But over experiences in my life, I realized that I just loved to learn about people and what moves them and how they tick and why they do what they do. And so that sort of drove me towards sociology and anthropology.
Did your passion for this topic like influence anything that you like chose to pursue? Like, did you study anything different than like a regular course?
Yes, I definitely did, because when I went to college, I really didn't know what, I had no idea what I wanted to be when I grew up, but I also didn't know what I wanted to study. And I was lucky enough to go to a school that let me write my own program. So I sort of designed it around things that I was interested in. I was interested in Africa. I was interested in tribes. I was interested in prison and criminal justice. I was raised in a family that had tremendous amount of social responsibility and civic responsibility, so I cared about things like that. And so I wrote a major that let me do all those things. I traveled to Africa, and I worked in a prison as an assistant matron, and for me, that was very special.
Would you say that your trip to Africa was one of your greatest adventures?
Absolutely. Well, I'm lucky enough to have been to Africa several times, but my first trip to Africa when I was in college was absolutely life-changing. When you see how people live with poverty that you cannot imagine, and how difficult their lives are, but how joyous they are regardless of that, and they would share everything they have even though they have nothing, is just life-changing. So yes, for me, that was my first and best and greatest adventure.
Did this experience to a different culture and lifestyle, do you think that it like shaped you as a person?
It absolutely did. It absolutely did. Because we are in America, and I don't mean to lecture, but we are very spoiled here. You know, we have lots of material things, and we spend lots of money on stupid stuff, and we waste a lot of money. And when you go to a place like Africa where there is nothing, you know, trying to find enough food, trying to find enough firewood to cook your food, trying to find water that you can drink, that the cows don't pee and poop in, you know, that it just changes you. You can't look at stuff the same way. The stuff becomes much less important. And just, so yes, it shaped me in tremendous ways.
With that being said, is there any point in history, if you could time travel and go back in history, is there anything that you would change? Or like, it could be something recent, or it could be like a long time ago?
Well, nothing really specifically to do with Africa, but I was raised in a family, a Jewish family, not a religious family, but a Jewish family, and much of my family was slaughtered in the Holocaust. So my grandmother, as an example, she was one of 20 children, which is pretty crazy, and only 3 of them survived. So if I could go back in history and change something, it would certainly be Hitler and things like that. But I don't like violence of any sort, and so I would like to go back and change all of those kinds of horrible events, because they are just horrible.
How do you think America would look now if that was changed, if you could change that? How do you think the like world would look today?
That's a really good question, and I don't even know if I could answer that. I mean, everybody has their views, and everybody's entitled to their political views. I'm frightened by what I see, because I think that we are going in a terribly dangerous direction. There's more hate than there ever was. There's more violence than there ever was. This whole gun thing, for me, is a serious problem. So I'm worried, but I don't know what I would do differently, and I don't know really how to change it. But it's scary. It's scary.
What are some of your favorite pastimes that you enjoy?
Well, I like to run, and I love my dogs. I'm a big animal person. I'm a very strict vegetarian. I don't buy anything that has any animal in it, like leather or anything else. So I love to spend time with my dog, and I love to run, and I do a little bit of ceramics, and I like to read. But otherwise, I'm pretty bored. I don't have a lot of hobbies, and I'm not a big cook or anything like that. So I'm just a pretty quiet, ordinary soul, but who has wonderful memories of a pretty adventurous life. So that's pretty nice. I like to think about the past a lot.
Do you like to share your knowledge about like everything you've been through and like your life in Africa? Do you like talking about it and like and teaching others about it?
Well, I love talking about it. It's just there's not many people to really talk about. I mean, the people in my life, my family, etc., they've heard about it. They know about it. So how many times can you talk about it, you know? And I don't know. It's not something that I necessarily tell people or raise with people because it sort of sounds like, I don't know, it sounds a little, I don't know, arrogant or something. Oh, well, I went to Africa. It just, so I don't really talk about it. When it comes up, of course I can't help but love to talk about it because it is an extraordinary continent with extraordinary people who, Africa is my heart. It is my favorite place on earth. And so, yes, I love to talk about it. I just don't get much of an opportunity.
What made you want to go to Africa specifically?
I think I am an animal person, and Africa, as you know, has the most amazing animals. And everybody goes to Africa, goes on safari, and they go look and see all the wildlife. And that was very appealing to me. What I didn't realize is that I was going to fall in love with the people the way I did. I really went because I thought it would be very cool to see all these animals. And again, I'm interested in culture. But it really turned out that the people, the tribes that I interacted with, the women that I met, the children, are just so incredible. They are the most joyous, spirited people with nothing. And it puts us to shame because, as I said before, we're so spoiled and we whine all the time and, you know, we are negative all the time because of what we don't have or somebody else has something that's better. And these are people who have nothing and are just remarkable people. So I fell in love. And so, yeah, I always was interested in Africa, but my love of the people really surprised me a lot. And I was fortunate enough, because of my love for Africa, to be able to go back on different kinds of adventures several times and experience different things. And it's amazing every time I go.
If you could go another time, would you? And would you do things differently? Or would you say that you've like had enough?
For me, I could never have enough of Africa. Never, never, never. I mean, I was lucky enough to travel most of the continent. I traveled by truck when I was much younger, from Nairobi through Africa, up through Europe. And so I've seen a lot of Africa, but there are still parts I haven't seen. But somehow my heart is in East Africa, so every time I go back to the same place. It's sort of like if you have your favorite restaurant, you like to eat there all the time. Well, I love East Africa. I love the language. I love the people. I understand them because they are the people that I studied with and lived with. And so it just feels like going home to me. So I would go again anytime, and I would probably continue to go back to East Africa, especially because I like to speak Swahili, which is something that I speak enough of to get by, but the longer you don't speak, the less you remember. So going back, you know, helps. So yeah, I would go back in a heartbeat anytime, and I would do everything the same. You know, when you're a student and you're really, really poor, you travel really poorly. So you camp in little tents and you sleep on the ground and you don't have a lot to eat and whatever. As an adult, having worked my whole life and saved my whole life for money to travel, I traveled a little bit more high end. And I don't think right now I would want to sleep on the ground, but I would certainly go back and sleep in tents and stuff like that, just at a higher, a little bit more luxurious level.
What would be some good advice for someone who is going to Africa and has no experience?
Well, the first thing you have to remember is that it is nothing like anything that you've ever experienced, and so you have to be prepared for things to not work on time. You know, if you have a bus and it's a 10 o'clock bus, it might come 10 o'clock, it might come tomorrow at 10 o'clock, it might come at 3 o'clock. Things don't work with the same efficiency that they do here, so you really have to sort of just take a deep breath and say, okay, I'm going to go with the flow. I'm just going to, you know, go with it as it happens. You need to be smart. You need to plan. There are areas just like in the States, there are areas that are less safe and more safe. You really, as a young woman, you really shouldn't be traveling alone, which is something I did back then. And it was fine back then, but when I think about it, it was probably stupid and probably not very safe. And you certainly should not do that now. But you need to do planning. You really need to think it through. You need to figure out where you want to go. What is it you're trying to do? Because otherwise, you'll just be stuck. So you need to plan it really carefully. And you can't be silly. You can't be stupid. And you really should talk to somebody who's been, who can guide you. Because otherwise, it's they call it the dark continent, the mysterious continent, and it is. And so you can't just show up and think you're going to wing your way around. It doesn't work that way. You really need some more planning. But I would urge anybody who can afford to save the money to do it, to go, because it will capture your heart in a way that nothing else does, and it's an extraordinary place. I think you should go, Grace.
When you first went to Africa, were you surprised by anything, like any of their social norms or anything?
Yeah, I was surprised by everything, because despite my advice to say do some planning and some thinking, I didn't. I got my passport and I went. That was the end of it. Now, I did go with school, and so they organized things for us, but everything surprised me. The rituals surprised me. How they treat their animals surprised me. The lack of education surprised me. The lack of any services, no electricity, no water, no running water, no nothing. Little kids, 5 years old, carrying gallons of water on their head, 6 miles every day. That was their job. They didn't go to school. That's how they helped their families. They would walk 6 miles to find some kind of pond and get water and walk it back at 5 years old. How they survived was shocking to me, because again, you can spend all day trying to find enough firewood to cook a meal. The poverty was at an indescribable level. So everything surprised me about it and concerned me as well, because it's, like I said, I hate to be redundant, but it's a level of poverty that you cannot imagine. The sickness, childhood, kids dying as kids. The AIDS epidemic, it wasn't there when I first went, but it is there now. And it's everything shocked me. I'll tell you, I did focus on family planning. That was really why I was there. I was trying to work with some tribes that were quite remote to help with family planning, because most of these families had 9, 10, 12 kids, not enough resources to feed them, not enough anything, and it was just like crazy. So I thought family planning was a good thing. Learning about genital mutilation, both for women and for men, particularly women, was shocking to me. So that was there's a million eye-opening things, and everything shocked me. But at the same time, I fell in love with all of it.
I think you mentioned teaching in Africa. Is there any, did you teach anything specific?
Well, we taught family planning, the use of condoms and things like that, because they certainly didn't have birth control or anything like that, and people didn't get their tubes tied. I mean, these are people who live, they're agricultural people who live, in the middle of nowhere, so there's no medical care, there's nothing like that. So I thought that condoms was probably our best hope. It was something they had never seen or experienced. They found it probably a little amusing and a little embarrassing at the same time, but that's what I thought could be of value. So that's what I taught. And whether it was of value or not, I'll never really know, And the truth is, we left supplies of condoms, but once the condoms were done, they had no way to get more. There was no money to buy condoms. There was no supply of condoms. So it was probably, I was pretty naive. It was probably a very short-term
solution to a problem that didn't really solve it anyway. Maybe they used it to fill like water balloons or something. I don't even know. But so I don't think it really had much value, but it seemed important at the time.
What is one of your strongest, most vivid memories?
That's a good one. Well, I mean, some of my memories as an adult is from the gorillas, the trekking of the gorillas that we've done. To find them and be in their presence, they are incredible animals. They are so much like us, it's unbelievable. But there's a whole, even in gorillas, there's a whole ritual that you have to follow. There's a whole set of behavioral rules that you have to follow. You can't look at them. You have to look down. You have to be submissive. If they charge at you, you have to not flinch, which is really pretty much a trick when you have a 500-pound gorilla charging at you and you're not supposed to flinch. But there's all these rules. So the gorillas are something very special to me. But in terms of the people, because as a Westerner, they invited me, they made a celebration for me. In the area that I was doing this family planning work, they made a celebration for me. And one of their most important things was to kill a goat in my honor and share that with me. I'm a vegetarian. And I could not bear the thought of doing that. They also had the eyeballs. That was like a special treat. That is absolutely something I could not have done under any set of circumstances. But I knew that it would be terribly insulting. I mean, this was like in my honor. So I forced myself to eat a few bites of the goat because I felt that it would have just been a horribly, horrible thing to do. But I did say that I couldn't eat the eyes, and they somehow tolerated it. So that's one of my most vivid memories.
What would be some wisdom to pass down or advice to anyone listening to this, like in a few years or, yeah?
Again, I think you have to assess where you are when you're thinking about going, because Africa, like every place else, is changing. There are places that are terribly unsafe to go. Young Americans are pretty easy to take advantage of, and so you do have to be careful. So I would say you need to really do some research. You need to talk to the State Department about what's safe and what's not safe. And you can't be stupid. I mean, I think that when I look back, I think I was probably stupid. I did fine and everything was wonderful, but I think I was stupid when I think about where I went by myself in the middle of nowhere, 12 hours from any place, a young white woman in Africa. Are you kidding me? But everybody was so kind and so welcoming, and it was fine. But I think it was dumb in retrospect, and I would urge people not to do that. Like I said, talk to the State Department, find out the places that are safe. Go with a group if you can. Don't go by yourself. You'll never experience it the same if you go by yourself. Go with a group. But go. That would be my advice, is to definitely go.
Was going to Africa one of your life goals as a child, and if not, like, when did you develop the idea?
I don't think so. I don't think I thought about stuff like that as a kid, but when I went to college, the college that I went to had lots of overseas programs, study abroad. They had Japan, they had Thailand, they had a million places, but somehow Africa, I think because of the animal thing, Africa just seemed to me to be the most interesting of all of the opportunities. I mean, I could have gone to Europe, I could have gone to Italy or England or any of that stuff, but somehow Africa just called me. I don't really know why. And I wasn't disappointed, because it really is, it became my heart. Go. All you students, if anybody's listening, go. Just have to get your parents' permission.
All right, thank you.
Is that paused?